Unpack your knives and stay. Yes, stay. Welcome, everybody, to the Top Stump Podcast. My name's Haley Strong. Hey, I'm kidding. It's not the Top Stump Podcast. It's obviously the Top Chef Podcast, but you guys know that. Kurt, hey, how are you doing, buddy?
I was like, did she just say Top Stump? Was she making a callback to like
last week? Neither of you guys laughed. I thought you guys would have laughed.
I guess it wasn't. I was like, oh, mistake. I wasn't entirely sure that I caught that. I am the guys, you're giving those stumps a second chance, much like the ingredients in today's quickfire. I actually do have an air horn app. Should I bust it out?
Maybe later. It's pretty early on in the podcast for the air horn out. LaTanya, how are you doing?
You know, pimping ain't easy.
What are you pimping?
Actually.
You know, just like hanging out, getting excited for a Sunday of like lovely things. I'm going to do a Dream Girls watch with some friends, which very excited to sing all of the songs.
I own the DVD Dreamgirls. I've never seen the movie Dreamgirls.
What?
But I do love that one song.
What
a lot.
Is this white nonsense?
You're not
the only one. That's the thing. Like one of my friends who's watching is like, I've never seen Dreamgirls, and I'm like,
it's always something Haley's, I've wanted to see.
Maybe we find Haley's rap name. White nonsense.
I think that's incredibly reasonable.
Whereas I started watching Cats yesterday.
The one with the buttholes or without the butthole?
I'll have to look closer because I only got out halfway through it. I had to ration it out. I'll watch the last 50 minutes today. I'd rather be watching Dreamgirls.
Who's the hottest cat?
They have names, but I don't remember any of them.
Just based on actor name, I guess.
Jason Derulo, would he be the hottest cat?
Jason Derulo.
I don't know what cat he is. I just know he's in Cats. I could name probably the entire cast of Cats, but I'll never watch Cats.
Idris Elba's looking good.
Oh yeah, good.
Yeah. Never not. Never not.
Gonna give a pass on Judi Dench, but
gonna say what about James Corden, but that was a joke.
Oh Lord.
Anyway,
this podcast about Cats.
Welcome to the Top Chef Podcast. I'm gonna be honest with you guys, probably my least favorite episode of the season so far. Just it made me a little weepy still. I wish we had a more light episode in between the two weepy episodes. Is that just me, or is my depression about COVID just making me not want to watch other very COVID-centric things?
Oh, you wanted them to break this up. You wanted to
I wanted like a fun fair in between, a fun fair episode, or like make your favorite cotton candy snack or something. I don't know. I just need to like this. Just made everyone crying. Just made me cry.
Well, it was like primarily Maria, right? I mean,
Did you not watch the frontline workers video after they were all crying? And I was like,
yeah, the thing is like, that was like 36 seconds. And if I have one complaint about the episode, it's that I went into this episode expecting them to be serving frontline workers. But then I'm like, after my second viewing, I'm like, you know what? Probably not worth a TV show to like potentially expose frontline workers to anything that the chefs have, you know, so I completely pardon it. It's just my expectations were misset. Like a bad creme brulee. It just did not hold with the reality.
Wow, you're on
that
fire.
That was beautiful.
Today,
I watched the recent episode of Great British Bake Off yesterday. Not a recent episode. I watched recently an episode of Great British Bake Off, and they had to make a creme brulee.
That's what season are you on, bud?
I am on, I want to say it's season 5. I'm only like 4 or 5 episodes in, but it's the one where Ian went on like a 3-run streak of Star Baker.
Very talented, that guy. I love the way he worked.
Yeah. But so I was
Haley
expecting
liked the way he worked.
I like the way Ian worked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're agreed. Ian, it's cool.
He's no Tom Colicchio.
No one is.
No one is.
So yeah, I think I just didn't ex- I think I had expected more, but I don't, but I guess my expectations would not have been realistic because it literally was like 40 seconds of like Skype Zoom recorded responses. So
yeah,
it was nice. You got it, but it didn't, I was like wondering like, are we even like, oh, they're not even going to share anything from the front lines. And there was like this little brief thing at the judges table. It's like, oh, you got a little bit of something there. So.
Yeah, later we'll talk about this Twitter comment that we got about the noticeable lack of quote unquote color from the first responders and frontliners.
Should we loop back?
Yeah, we'll loop back to that and then we'll loop back to our weekly request
to talk about the hotties.
To talk about the hot
hottie corner.
Yeah.
So quick fire. Well, first of all, I think we were right. I think we mentioned the last week that, well, the preview showed people getting really excited about somebody coming back from Last Chance Kitchen, which kind of spoiled the results. I mean, I don't know what the show has against Gabriel.
Oh, but it was not necessary.
It wasn't necessary. I hope it's not in Maria. Gabriel. It's not necessary.
They put in Maria being like, I'm glad it wasn't Gabriel.
He's already gone twice, y'all.
Not necessary. Like, what did he do to production?
He did something wrong.
I don't know what it was. I'm also wondering, we'll have to ask
our sources.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask Gabriel.
You're just going to slide into his DMs.
Yeah, so do. What's up?
On the record, please come defend yourself on our podcast, Gabriel, and then bring us mushrooms.
Let's loop back on that as well, because I have a mushroom story. But I also wonder if it was a little bit of a Frankenbite, if like Maria had said some other time, as long as it's not Gabriel, like it was about, I don't care who's on my team, as long as it's not Gabriel, but like, I don't care who comes back, as long as it's not Gabriel, it's kind of harsh.
It's her. Yeah, that was interesting.
Lean more into the Shota comments. Like, I'm really hoping it's Jamie. But yeah, I like how Padma declared that we've never had a reception to a chef coming back like we had with like this. So that it was nice to see. I really do enjoy this entire crowd.
They're such a team now. I love the way that they're actually like, they're supporting each other. I think it was the last season being All-Stars that kind of set the tone for the chefs just being very kind and like supporting one another throughout this ridiculous process that only like a few people experience. And also, you know, all of this is still happening during quarantine. So people are probably just so excited to be cooking again and being around other people that share their love for food that they really just bonded. And I love seeing that in the house.
And like they get what the others have gone through. As somebody who lost all of my jobs last March, all like four of them. Nobody around me really did. Nobody in my life really like went through what I went through. So it was very like isolating. Mm-hmm. So it would have been nice to be around people who like really understood what was going on with me. And so I'm sure the chefs are very much like, this was so traumatic. We all lost our restaurants. At least we have each other.
And we've seen Maria say a couple times, like there's like, this is like going through nine different, cooking academies or chef school or whatever you want to call it, like in terms of like learning from everybody, all the other contestants. And even this time she said like, we all pitched in, we're one big happy family, except Gabe. or sorry, Gabriel. I did like last week how she said like, you know, you're an asshole, but you're my asshole sort of thing, you know? Like,
yeah, that was nice, which is why this week's comment was so unnecessary.
anyway, yeah, so she comes back and we've got our quick fire, which I didn't really remember until I rewatched it.
How could you not remember this quick fire? We've got Melissa and Padma in the kitchen.
I remember that.
Talk about dream girls, am I right?
Seriously. My God. I text the two, Haley and Kurt, and was like, I'm watching this late. No one, and I don't want to spoil most of the stuff I have for the podcast, but no one warned me that this was happening, and I'm very upset about it. Like, I need to prepare.
Luckily, somebody did tweet us warning us that Melissa would be wearing a very sexy backwards hat later on in the episode.
I didn't see that tweet.
we were properly braced and prepared for that.
Well, damn it. I guess I need to be on Twitter more.
Nobody needs to be on Twitter. I really liked the concept of this quickfire challenge. Take a second chance on a pass-fail dish using overlooked second chance and perfect ingredients produce. It was sponsored by a bread company called... Cool. a great bread company in Portland, which is called
Top Chef Bread Company. We use it.
God, I feel bad. Anyway, great bread company. They employ formerly incarcerated
Dave's Killer Bread.
That's interesting branding.
That's great. Nope.
Nope. Okay. I do want to say, I, as somebody who shops with, I think we're all thinking the same thing. But as someone who shop, I actually do order frequently from Imperfect Produce. So I will get the slightly blemished apples and the flaccid cucumbers and the...
don't ever say that again.
Stop saying flaccid, please. Okay. If I never hear the word flaccid again, it would be too soon. No more flaccid.
Okay. The limp cucumbers.
I don't love that either.
So like the idea of like kind of the second chance or imperfect produce, I thought was like an interesting, I like after the bread, it's like you get the butt end of the bread. I'm like, yep, that's the one you always toss. Or I typically will save that for like PB&J.
What I'll do is I will leave it on the counter with the intention of making croutons out of it. And then I never do. So it molds up and then I throw it out.
Okay. Oh, I use it to create my own penicillins.
Okay. Harvest the molds. Yeah.
I'd say for at least 1 to 2 seconds, I was like, she's serious.
No.
And then I was like, wait, nope, I've just been watching The Handmaid's Tale.
Best side hustle ever goes to LaTanya.
if in The Handmaid's Tale, most recent season, if you see a scene with a train and or train tracks,
Mm-hmm.
It was filmed down the street from my home.
Really?
Yeah, I can see the mill from my office window where that train track is.
Allegedly. Can you also see Russia from your house, Haley?
No, but from my old house, I can be able to see America. So if I go down the street to the park, I can see America. America's close, okay? I could leave my driveway
America.
And make two turns.
America's close, y'all.
Two turns and be in the American states of America.
I want it to be called that from now on.
Put it on the shirt.
The American states of America.
Am I wrong? Are they not American states of America?
They're much less united these days. They're much less united, so maybe that's fair.
Yeah, they're more American. They're more American than
American states of America.
So let's go through the dishes that were made. Shota won with his Aradaki soy braised fish head. I would.
Did you see how happy Sarah was when Shota won?
Yeah, and also like in the elimination, there was some cuts between the two of them. It was like, it's a good thing you had immunity. And there was like a cut to Sarah.
Yeah, she's biting her nails.
Listen, I am here for some Top Chef sexy tension.
Yes. There's not nearly enough of it. Everybody comes in with their relationships, their partners. Like, what is this? Be single. Like,
don't they know what I want?
Yeah.
Shutter one. It looked.
It looked like a pile of green.
Yeah, I would.
I would try it.
I would probably try it.
What did you think about the concept, though? Like the tack on idea of this, like make this a redemption of something you failed in previously. Because again, I get the feeling. Some people actually, I was really happy that, you know, there were things that we could remember, like Dawn's unsauced dish from the first episode and a couple other things where people referenced failed dishes from earlier in the season. But then the people who were like, yeah, this is the first dish I ever cooked. I'm like, yeah, bullshit. You
know, very elaborate first dish ever. And you said you started cooking when you were 3. Come on. Who do you think we are? Some chumps?
It sounded like this was a dish that Shota had been yelled at about many times because sometimes it was too spicy and sometimes it was too sweet. But I wouldn't say I'm a huge fish head fan. I don't know if I've ever had it, but I would definitely try it.
I would try it without the explanation of the collagen in the lips.
Yes, okay, thank you.
Let's not just say we did.
Yeah, I don't need the details.
Just no.
Serve me the tasty dish and maybe tell me afterwards.
Yeah. Do I take a collagen supplement that is obviously derived from some sort of animal? Yes. But is it flavored to taste like an orange so I don't know what's going on? Absolutely.
Yes, that's, I mean,
I have I'm fine
with eating fish eggs. Just don't tell me about it.
In my forehead that I need to eradicate.
Yeah, that's you, deep lines. Lord, you're like 20 years old.
I'm 29, but I go like this all the time because I'm constantly concerned. So now I have all these lines in my forehead.
Well, we'll get you some of that fish collagen.
Internal collagen, external.
No, I'll inject it for you. When we meet up in Michigan, I'll just do. We'll do a collagen party.
And the pump, the penicillin, bring your, some loose penicillin too.
Yes.
This was the last immunity.
Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't have given it to Gabriel last week, but they gave it to Shota this week.
Yeah. That was odd.
They had planned to give out immunity last week, but then
Gabriel won. And they're like, Maria, should we follow through on our plan? No. No, you shouldn't. Okay, Maria, we'll follow your lead.
Do you have any theories as to why you think he's gotten this edit? Do you think he went around just being like, I worked at Tom Colicchio's restaurant. I work for Tom Colicchio. Tom Colicchio. All the time. Or something?
I think they just needed I don't think anybody hated him. I think he was just vocal, maybe. I don't know.
Just a competitive white man.
Yeah.
You know?
Only one. Gone.
Get him out of here.
Sarah made spoon bread with bay shrimp gravy. Sounds tasty, tasty.
It sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
Very curious about this. I would have wanted to try this. It's really interesting because we're at 9 people. We had 3 in the top, 3 in the bottom, and Sarah was one of the 3 in the middle. This looked really good.
Our good friend Avichar was in the bottom with his Jingju style turkey chop with mashed cucumber salad and chili yogurt. Don't worry, everyone. He asked Sarah if he could use some yogurt, and she said yes.
Gave her permission.
I thought this looked really tasty. They just said the turkey was too dry or something.
Yeah, it looked good though.
It looked yum. Gabe was in the top with carrots and burnt bread mole. Since that one challenge, he's really just been like, F you. I'm only serving vegetables.
And I've got 12 more kinds of mole in my pocket.
I'm ignorant, apparently. I just didn't know that there were so many types of moles. And now I want to try all of them.
I don't want to try the ones that don't involve chocolate. I'll be honest.
Okay.
That's all that draws me to the mole is the chocolatiness to it. And
I see.
No, I would try all of the mole. And I thought they also interesting. He did not go for like a protein here. There was like no meat.
Yeah, he was like, enjoy half of a carrot with a ton of mole. And the judges were like, I will absolutely enjoy this half a carrot.
I'll enjoy the crap out of this carrot. Thank you.
Yes, you add the word mole, I will try it.
Yeah.
Even if it's guacamole. I'm but
especially if it's guacamole.
That was a good one, Kurt. I enjoyed it.
It's the description of it for me. Carrots and burnt bread. It's not until you get to the mole part, guaca or otherwise, that I'm like, oh, okay, I'll have this dish. Because burnt bread, I'll just think I'm having a stroke.
I like my toast is barely warm.
Yeah, it's not toast. It's burnt bread. At least he's honest.
Yeah, it's fancy toast. That's what this is.
Isn't that fancy though? I mean, here's the thing. It's like, I've gotten burritos, you know, with the mole sauce on the side or like, you know, or smothered over it. I'll finish the burrito. There will still be a nice portion. I will just eat the mole straight.
So yeah, it's like a soup.
So just add some thoughtfully crafted carrots and burnt bread to it. I'm sure it would be tasty.
Apparently it was very tasty.
Top 3.
Jamie made turkey courage with Indonesian corn fritter. I was so focused on trying to pronounce courage. I don't know if I did that right, but I think Indonesian horn fritter. Sounds nice.
Yeah.
Courage.
I'm sorry.
Courage. No, that's just French for courage. Never mind.
Courage.
Turkey courage.
Brought to you by the Cowardly Lion. Turkey.
Oh, okay. She was in the middle with this dish. I would sign up for a corn fritter pretty much any day, I think.
Yeah. Give me a corn fritter right now. No, seriously, one of you go get me a corn fritter right now.
I'll send you one. I don't know if there's a lot of corn fritter options here in my small town. Byron made North African mutton tartare. He said it was a review dish because he doesn't like mutton. And then he was like, you know what? I don't like mutton. Why don't I serve it raw?
Yeah, and Padma even was like, so you gave it to us raw. Great.
I do like a steak tartare. I'm underreported. I enjoy me a good tartare. So I think I would have tried this, but I don't know how lamb would go raw.
They said it was too gamey. I would not like to be signed up for this dish.
No.
I would try it, but I don't know if I would. Like, could I get a sample before I order this off the menu, please?
Yeah.
Just like a tasting spoon.
An amuse-bouche, if you will.
I think that it's because my only frame of reference for mutton is Game of Thrones. Because they were always talking about, like, they were eating high on the hog when they got mutton on that show.
High on the lamb.
Oh, sorry.
Hog's pork. But the, I would eat, like, mutton cooked, but the tartare part's the part that throws me, like the rawness of it. So I'd try it, but the fact that it was at the bottom has me worried.
Chris made celery root and pear bisque with carrots and chive oil. That very much sums up my alley. I love a soup.
Love a bisque so much.
Mm-hmm.
I love pears, so I think I would dig this.
Yeah, some chive oil. Let's do it.
Soup
is great. Yeah. I think that's underreported.
Is how good soup is. Yeah, people are haters and be like, no, soup's not a meal, but absolutely it's a meal.
Fully a meal, and I will destroy you.
It is a meal, but I will rarely eat soup in isolation. I mean, no, I will be isolated, but like I will have something else with it, like a soup and a sandwich.
Right.
A soup and a no, it's always a sandwich.
Chips. Yeah.
No, it's always a sandwich.
Chips? Like fries or chips?
No, like I like to have nachos with a lot of meals. Eat.
With soup?
I mean, yeah.
I'm not judging. I'm just trying to make sure I heard you correctly. And I did.
I feel judged.
No, you're not judged. We love you.
Don made fire roasted tuna comma with peanut sauce. Boy, did this look tasty.
And this was her redemption dish.
Good from that Don. First episode. Don is killing it, man.
Don is killing it, and I'm so happy for her.
The fact that this made it into the top three is a good. Like, it just goes back. She goes to show you that, like, back in that first episode, even though she didn't get the sauce on the plate, they could see where the dish was going, mm-hmm. and like saw fit to not even have her in the bottom. But like, So I was glad that she got a chance for redemption here. Although when I first wrote this down, I kept writing down tuna roasted fire comma. I was like, why doesn't this look right? Tuna roasted fire. No. And I was like, give me a good like 40 seconds before I realized, oh no, it's fire roasted.
Tuna roasted fire comma? Tuna
roasted fire. Then the comma.
Comma with peanut sauce.
Comma with peanut sauce.
I'm just very, very happy for Dawn. And we talked about her athletic instincts kicking in as the competition went on. You can really see her kind of hitting her stride now, like being in the top more often, giving herself some more confidence. I got to tell you, though, the way that this show was edited this week, I was terrified that she was going home, because even after the quickfire, because, you know, like the phone call with her mom, which was heartbreaking. And I was just like, and they kept doing her like little talking head segments. And I was like, okay, if Dawn goes home, I'm quitting this podcast. Like, I don't know if I'll be able to do it anymore.
We wouldn't let you quit the podcast. Okay, we'd let you quit the show, but you would have to show up every week.
Okay. I could do that.
I'm very, very excited by Dawn's trajectory. And I'm wondering if she's got a little touch of a winner's at it.
Oh.
Especially in terms of now that we've kind of got a full circle on a redemption story from the first week is now, I think there's a nice bow on that. There's a good chance of it. I don't think we've seen the person getting the home conversation and then going home the same episode. So I didn't feel too bad for Dawn on that front.
I think it's my anxiety that I'm just like, no, partially it's because I like all of these people. And every time anyone said anything, I was like, no, they're going home. It was just, it's just an insane person. It's fine.
Maria made shrimp cake with grilled habanero and banana salsa. I just have one thing to say to Maria. Stop using shrimp, my friend.
Don't do it. You're allergic to it and you can't taste it. No mas.
And this was supposed to, and I think, and she did this. I think she said that this was to kind of correct an error on a dish that she had made previously.
Yeah.
She still was bottom three, so it didn't really
work
for her.
Just stop using shrimp. Don't do it anymore.
Don't do it anymore.
I wasn't sold on the, like, there was a part where it just shows, like, I think it showed, like, the 2 second chance ingredients, and there's, like, shrimp and bananas. And I'm like,
no.
But some reason, the inclusion of a habanero, I'm like, that might actually bridge the gap between those two ingredients that I'm feeling in my mind. It actually ended up looking really good. So I would have been
pretty
all over this.
I just want her to be okay. I want her to stop cooking with things that are going to put her in an anaphylactic shock. That's all. Please.
I'll co-sign that.
And then a nice TV gets wheeled in and we get to talk to Jose Andreas for a couple moments. Kwame comes on in looking as hot as ever.
Oh my God. And then Kwame came in and we'll get to it.
Is this the sexiest season of Top Chef?
Yes.
I agree. Yeah. It's very sexy. So then they are going to create a dish to be delivered to frontline workers. Through World Central Kitchen, which is a really great foundation Jose Andreas started, where he goes to basically any affected area and cooks food for people. He went to Puerto Rico when the hurricane came through. I believe he's done stuff like that throughout the country. He's really wonderful and he's doing great things. And if you want to put some of your money towards that foundation, it would be a good place to do it. They were very careful with how they were preparing food. The chefs had to leave and they did a whole sanitization. Then they had to come back wearing PPE and create meals. They had to make 65 portions for frontline workers. Has to be good, nutritious, and travel well. You know, it feels like a basic challenge at its base.
It was nice to see that at least there was like that's a challenge that tied directly into the just the prevailing conditions globally in terms of the pandemic. Like they had alluded to it and how like it had touched everybody's personal lives, but it was nice to see that there was a challenge that tied directly into it. Mm-hmm. Despite me saying earlier that like my expectations were a little bit misguided. But it was good to see that there was something that was directly related to, you know, frontline workers or, you know, just COVID efforts.
Yeah, for sure. And it can be easy with this show being a little bit of escapism for us to, you know, kind of like remember that this competition is happening in the middle of a global pandemic. For them to realize the conditions under which people have to work so hard and such long hours is great. And I'm sure that everyone was very happy to get these meals.
Some great stuff coming out of this Top Chef kitchen too.
Yeah.
Jamie won with kimchi tofu soup, bulgogi braised pork, eggplant and steamed rice. We had a fun fact come from her this week. She has 8 siblings.
And she's the middle child.
Good. Can you imagine? Anxious.
No. It hurts just thinking about it.
Which part? Having to have 8 siblings or having to give birth to 9?
Both. Yeah. Both things.
Right there with you.
Being the oldest sister, I'm just like, oh, God. 8 of you? No.
I'd be all over the bulgogi Prius pork.
That looks great. Oh. I love that she put a soup in there, too, but also mm-hmm. had a protein. I love yeah. the way she did the eggplant. This was a really nice-looking dish.
Give me eggplant every day of the week. Love it so much.
I need to do more eggplant. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's in my typical rotation. It's not something I would typically, you know, it might even steer me away from an item if there's like a eggplant involved. It's not that I don't like it. It's just it doesn't do anything for me. But I know enough people who like it that I need to, I think, be more inclusive of it in my life.
Yeah. Welcome eggplant.
Welcome eggplant.
Or aubergines, as the Brits call it.
Yes.
Fancy.
Very fancy.
Sarah was also in the top with her lentil falafel, carrot and pumpkin seed hummus, tomato salad and flatbread. I really love that somebody went vegetarian. And this looked unbelievable. It looks so good.
It looked really pretty. Can I also just say that Sarah repeating everything's fine, everything's great, everything's fine, everything's great is just like every moment of my life.
Yeah.
She is so charming. I just adore her.
Yeah.
And she, like, we'll get to, you know, Maria's tortilla efforts, but, like, the flatbread was, like, a perfect... Well, because I think, wasn't she... Originally, she was trying to do a flatbread, but it ended up being more of a pita.
She wanted to be a pita, and then she's like, it's not going to work, so I'll call it a flatbread, and then it worked.
And she was like, I'm not committing to calling it a pita in case it's not a pita. She's smart. She's watched the show before.
And I just watched an episode of Great British Bake Off where the technical challenge was creating pita bread.
Mm.
So, and none of those really turned out that well, as good as Sarah's did. So
it looked great. Put it in a fire roasted oven. Yes.
And I like, you know, and Tom said several times, like the sign of the great, you know, vegetarian dishes when you don't even miss the meat.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see more vegetarian challenges on Top Chef.
Yeah, we haven't had any. Well, I guess even the mushroom challenge wasn't necessarily about replacing protein with mushroom. Like you could have it be part of, but it had to be the star. But you could still have protein there. Yeah, I agree. It's like we've had the diabetic, you know, challenge before, in terms of, you know, creating a dish that's, you know, friendly to, you know, folks with, was it type, I can't remember if it was type B diabetes.
It's pronounced diabetes.
Sorry. Thank you, Wilford Brimley.
oh my God.
Anyway, but I agree. Long story short, I agree, Haley Strong. So Shoda.
Shoda made miso braised drumsticks with sweet potatoes, cauliflower, pickles, and Napa cabbage. I often feel like Shoda can do no wrong, but wow, did that chicken look unappetizing.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, that looks like chicken you'd see at a barbecue that's been outside for like 8 hours. You're not touching it.
Yeah, that's some chicken that you like put into a soup, for example.
Oh, nothing about it looked good. It was gray tone. There was like no crispness to the skin. Oh, it was not cute.
I was gonna say to be fair, but that's giving him, I think, too much of an out. But like he did say, I feel like this was he was completely thrown about what to do, because I think it sounded like he said a couple times that he had to completely throw out his plan A because of just what was available in the kitchen. And so he was. Yeah. It sounded like he was stumped for a good chunk of time in terms of figuring out what
I'm going
to do. Last week he was stumped. This week he was trying to come up with a plan B after the second chance challenge for what the frontline worker dish would be. And he probably, I think that just threw him to the plane that he didn't recover. So like, good thing that he had immunity. I think he would have been probably gone.
Yeah, I think he absolutely would have at least had Maria's spot in the bottom. It sounded like very much they were like, oh, we just have to have a third. And Maria, your tortillas are done. Yeah, everything else is great.
They loved her stew. I mean, they said the stew was probably the best we had. But it was the only reason she was there was because of the tortilla. But yeah, Shota would have definitely been there in her place.
So Maria was in Nevada with her puerco verde, pork and grilled tomatilla salsa with cabbage and avocado slaw, corn salsa and tortilla. I would absolutely order this dish off the menu. It sounds delicious. I really do think the only thing that held it down was the tortilla.
Yeah,
it was. Which is a shame.
It is. And it was very good to see her be able to make food that was packageable. Because normally her portion sizes are so big. Mm-hmm. So it can be done. Just like get one of these little trays and like plate in that and then replate.
Or just take the serving and then split it in half between two trays and there you go. It's like all of my like HelloFresh or Blue Apron meals. It's like it's one big thing, but it's two dishes. It's two servings. Mm. Unless I don't want it to be and I'm really hungry.
HelloFresh, if you want to sponsor this podcast. And send the rest of us some yummy, yummy meals. We will shout you out every week as we have continued to do. HelloFresh.
HelloFresh.
And we're not limited to HelloFresh. If any of the food subscription services want to sponsor us, please feel free. Avishar, our good buddy, went home on his Bengali style beef curry with chana cauliflower and basmati rice, which is a shame because it looked very, very good.
And he got the rice right. He's very happy about
It looked like just some chunks of meat on top of some well-cooked rice.
That sounds great to me, though.
Yeah. And?
Exactly. What is your point here? No, I'm just kidding.
It sounded like it was a textural issue. Right?
It was a textural issue. They said it was kind of grainy and it was not flavorful, which is really unfortunate. I felt like Avatar's been hanging on.
Tom did say it tasted a little bit bloody, and I almost went back and watched to see like was that added in post? Like they just kind of figure out his spoiler alert, Kitchen, but
I missed that part.
Yeah, he said I picked up on it the second watch because it ties into Last Chance Kitchen, but yeah, Tom does say it tasted a little bit bloody, which then to me means it was not seasoned well.
Anyway, I really do feel like Avatar has been kind of hanging on by a thread for the last couple of weeks. And as absolutely devastated as I am to lose him, I kind of do feel like he was the right choice here. I feel like everyone else is just putting out dishes that are better.
Yeah, but he's so delightful, though.
Mm-hmm. I wish he could just stay in the Top Chef kitchen as as the peanut gallery.
Well, I think we'll be getting him as the peanut gallery.
We'll be getting him, but still, there is no Last Chance Kitchen on foodnetwork.ca. It seems like they've stopped advertising that it will be, too. So
thanks to you, they stopped advertising.
Yeah, they stopped advertising. They didn't make any effort to put it on the website. Byron made pollo a la brasa, soybean style grilled chicken, ahi amarillo potatoes, and vegetable corn salad. Sounds very tasty. Their issue was just that the chicken was dry. Is that correct?
Yeah.
We're talking about Byron, right?
Byron's chicken, not Chris's chicken.
Oh, okay. Yes. I think that was the issue.
It looked nice and seasoned. I love when chicken looks like that.
I love a corn salad. I like corn.
Me too. Great vegetable, Is it a vegetable?
Yeah.
Is it a starch? Is it a legume? Is corn a legume? No.
So I've actually looked this up before. So like feed corn is considered a grain, but the kind of corn that you buy like in the produce section for like dishes and stuff is a vegetable.
Mm. Okay.
Chris made grilled chicken breast with sweet potatoes, gratin, charred cauliflower, leeks, and Brussels sprouts. This sounds tasty good too, but they just said he didn't season the chicken at all. And that the sweet potato gratin was not cooked all the way through. Just unfortunate because I love a sweet potato gratin. Just layer potatoes and cheese for me, baby.
What kind of cheese would you layer with a sweet potato?
Everything. Maybe a ricotta. I do some cheddar.
Mascarpone?
Yeah.
Okay. I think the things that got me most excited about this were like everything after chicken breast. Like grilled chicken breast, but the sweet potato gratin, the cauliflower, the leeks.
All want vegetables right now.
I hate Brussels sprouts.
Even like charred with bacon?
Well, I don't like the flavor of char. Like it grosses me out. I like bacon. I don't like Brussels. I don't love bitter things.
Except for me.
Of course. You're the only bitter thing I have room in my heart for. Everything else has to go.
Okay. If there's a choice between Brussels sprouts and me, I'm glad you chose me.
Yeah. Can you imagine if I was like, welcome to the podcast.
Brussels sprouts. How are you doing?
Just me, LaTanya, and a bag of Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
I would just shake it by the mic every time I wanted to say something.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture.
Oh. Or Carissa.
Yeah, I thought there was a chance he might go.
I thought so too. But I just felt like they just had to let Abishar go after how many times he's been in the bottom.
Yeah.
But he blew it out of the water with his drive-in s'mores thing from a couple weeks back. So
he was good at the top of the show. Yeah. He was good like earlier.
Christian needs to spice things up.
He needs to season his food.
Yeah. Which makes you wonder, like, in my cooking, if I'm under seasoning things, like, would I like be adding a whole new level of like flavor awesomeness if I was just adding more salt? Because I think we talked about previously, I think during Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, Haley, the last summer, that like I was kind of raised where like salt was what you added to bland food at the table. It wasn't really like you did, and it was considered like, you know, bad for your health. So you just didn't like put a ton of salt into anything you were cooking. And I would never added it at the table. Mm-hmm. So, but now it's like every time I cook something from insert random subscription box here until they sponsor us, there's like every step, add salt. And I'm like going through so much salt, but it food tastes good. So,
and then a finishing salt too, just for funsies.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of salt.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Gabe made achiote chicken with black bean sauce, sweet corn tamale, and green beans. Again, delicious. I'm really craving green beans lately. Not totally in season yet, but I'm going to buy some anyway. Cool. Yeah. All right.
Corn and green beans. Let's do it.
Don was also in the top with tamarind braised top sirloin, coconut rice grits, and maple red onion braised cabbage wedge. I thought she was going to win this.
I did too.
It sounds amazing. Holy mother of pearl.
With the way they were talking about how flavorful her food is, it makes it sound like she's delivering flavor profiles that no one else is delivering for them.
Mm-hmm.
Which would seem that it would make her win the challenges, but nope.
I have a question coming out of my own ignorance. I've seen tamarind in many places as a flavor, like especially I've seen it if I go to a taqueria. They'll often have like some soft drinks that are tamarind flavored. What is tamarind?
I thought it was a fruit because it has
my understanding
sweet flavor. Let's do a quick wiki.
The tree produces bean-like pods filled with seeds surrounded by a fibrous pulp. The pulp is the young fruit. Is green and sour.
I guess it's like, I could tweet all I know about tamarind in that they're likely a sweet fruit. I couldn't, I can tell you more about, you know, persimmons and lychees than tamarind.
These look like peanuts almost, like the shell looks like peanut, but then it's here. Can I do this? Let me see. Okay.
Says it's used in sauces, marinades, chutneys, drinks, and desserts. And also one of the ingredients of Worcestershire sauce.
Ooh, nice.
I guess not. Actually, I do now that you mention it, I do kind of associate it with savory sauces as well. It's like, I'm just trying to imagine that the flavor profile, like any of like most fruits I can, but this like tamarind, I'm like,
what's I think it's more sour than like a sweet.
Okay. Twitter, let us know your thoughts on tamarind. There. Done.
No more work for us.
When did we start the work? I mean, I certainly gave up a long time ago.
You're doing great.
keep it up, Haley.
Everything's fine. Everything's great. Everything's fine.
Everything's great.
I know. I was like, I really need to take that on. It's just to repeat that to myself. Yeah, so that's it. We lose Avatar. What a gem he is. They walk into the stew room and he's like, Chris. It's Chris. He's gone. That made me laugh so hard. And then he wheeled out of the room.
That made me uncomfortable.
Like, really?
Like, I was like,
kind of both.
Yeah, it was like, to me, it was a little cringe.
It was a classic Avatar joke in that it was a little cringe. Yeah. But because it was also just like Chris still like reeling from the fact that everyone's like, your food has no taste.
Yeah, but I think that's what it was. Is like, I was like wondering, how did Chris take that?
Yeah, he's like, why didn't he pick Maria? But,
yeah. So like, do we want to like, that's not like to put a bow on this quite yet before we get to Last Chance Kitchen, but I'm going to miss Avishar. I'll just say it.
Me too.
Yeah.
He's kind of been a little bit of a mascot. I view him and I'm going to miss him and like the kind of the banter between him and Shota, to be honest.
Yeah. The sex tension between them as well.
Yeah.
Shota's just like sexual tension with everyone in the kitchen.
Yeah.
That's I think he true. Just gives out that vibe. For me, I love Avatar very much, but he always felt very more Food Network show than Top Chef. What's that mean?
I wouldn't know.
He feels more chopped. He feels more like beat Bobby Flay than like.
He's just so kind and like him. Considerate, and that was really nice to see, just in the world. You know,
he's what they would call a fun guy.
So I'm going to put in the chat here a link for the two of you.
Oh no, is it bad? Is it like Avishar is a terrible person?
No, it's a link to the restaurant in Columbus, Service Bar. And I thought, you know, as we're able to, maybe it's as like a send off to those contestants who are no longer with us. We take a look at the menu from the restaurant and say, like, what is it that kind of intrigues us the most about what's on offer there? How's that sound?
Oh my God, all this sounds delicious.
I mean,
okay, we're starting off with cheesy crunches.
What is it? What is cheesy crunch? Because it doesn't really say, but
it sounds like a tostada.
Okay.
Am I on the right menu?
If you scroll all the way down to the carryout menu, then like underneath sandwiches and sides and shareables. Oh, I don't know how Kaylee got right to the cheesy crunches.
Yeah, how did you like get the cheesy crunches?
They're at the top. Menu. They're at the top of my. Oh, I think I hit the carryout menu. So I don't know what I was supposed to do. Anyway, cheesy crunches, brisket crunch, oak smoked prime brisket, crispy corn tortilla, local style Bengali fry bread, pepper jack queso, salsa matcha, and. Oh gosh.
Guasakaka?
Yeah.
Guasakaka. Yeah, no, I think that's right. Yeah, there's apparently three kinds. There's two per order, three kinds. The cheesy chicken crunch, just, you know, but basically for me, it'd be between the brisket and the chicken. Let me scroll. Like for me, the cheesy crunches were like halfway down the page.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
Let me take a look. Wontons, just general.
Yeah, definitely wontons. This veggie Ross.
Kimchi, 23 islands. I guess you can only afford, you know, need like 977 more islands to go. this is like, check my math. You've got the Sarah inspired yogurt marinated kebab for the kati roll. Golly gee, I would have to go for I would want to try the Red Caesar because I love Caesars. So let me see what the variation of the Red Caesar is. You know what? I'm gonna keep it simple and I'm gonna go for the. I just saw the not pad Thai, pork, roasted vegetables, crispy shallots, egg. Boom! I will take the comforting bowl of not pad Thai, and if the three of us are dining together, we can get the Koji whole Rohan duck.
So, I can't wait.
Let's do it. There's a lot of egg in a lot of these dishes.
So Emily will not be joining us.
Yeah. I mean, I've been on like a roast chicken kick. So tandoori roasted chicken, Bengali fried chicken, just chicken in like multiple different ways. Nom.
It does sound lovely.
So if people do want to check out, the website is servicebarcolumbus.com. If you want
Columbus,
to
see. Ohio, baby capital, yeah. Right? Is that the capital? Home of Guy Fieri, if not mistaken. Birthplace of Guy Fieri.
I believe
whose Columbus last name is actually Fieri and not Fieri. Just another random thing in my head. Can't stop it, folks.
But he, well,
that's,
what you're
for. That's the point of podcasting.
Anyway, should we jump to Last Chance Kitchen?
Yeah, sure. Tell me what happened on Last Chance Kitchen. Because, again, I didn't watch it. Not because I'm anti-top Last Chance Kitchen.
It's because you're getting screwed over by Bravo Canada. So they had to, going off of Tom's single comment about how it tasted a little bloody, they had to create a dish using bloody ingredients.
I
hated this one.
There was like blood sausage and blood orange and blood beets and you know, cow's blood and, you know, cow's ox heart and et cetera. But I think we saw both Sasha and Avishar go after the blood sausage and blood orange. Sasha made brown butter basted blood sausage with beet puree, pickled onions, and blood orange segments. Whereas Avishar made what he called a bloody good breakfast. Blood sausage with blood scrambled eggs, blood orange, and a blood vinaigrette. He actually had Bloody Mary. So some of it wasn't actual blood.
The color of, I saw the eggs.
Eggs were not, they did not look good.
No, I think he used the blood for that. There was a tray.
He did.
So in the ingredients, there was like a tray that actually had blood items. And then there were like the tangential items that are just named like blood beets and blood orange and Bloody Mary mix. And so I know he made the blood vinaigrette using blood orange and I believe Bloody Mary mix. But yeah, the blood sausage, I believe he just added some blood for the bloody scrambled eggs. But
I don't want to hear it anymore. I'm going to be honest with you.
So Sasha ends up winning, which means that in our draft, you know, for LaTanya, never having done a draft before, she did a damn good job because all four of her people are still in it.
Yeah.
Whereas Haley and I are each down to two.
I got one back and I lost another.
Yeah, it's like a revolving door.
It's really beginner's luck here, people. That's all.
Oh, although it looks like next week we are getting Restaurant Wars.
Oh, really? I missed that.
That was great.
Thank you.
That was great. I missed the preview. So
I typically don't watch the previews, but I remembered that we were down to eight. I was like, are we going to get Restaurant Wars? Do you guys want a little bit of a spoiler in terms of the format change?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. Because I want to, before you do that, it was just Restaurant Wars week on Top Chef Canada, and they did Takeout Wars.
Interesting. And I've not watched Top Chef Canada, but a friend of the show, Melissa Woodward, said that one of her friends, Emily, is in Top Chef Canada.
Oh, so this nice.
This is her first time having watched any Top Chef, and she seems to be enjoying it.
I did not enjoy last season of Top Chef Canada, but I'm very much enjoying this season of Top Chef Canada. Maybe because there's a married couple on this season. I love that.
There is.
I love it.
That's kind of cool.
It's very cool.
We've had siblings, obviously. We've had, I'm trying to remember, wasn't there a season of, well, there were partners before, I think, on Top Chef.
Yes, in Top Chef Chicago, you're right.
Yes, well, look at that, me remembering something from more than last season.
Okay, let me do Top Chef Chicago.
I'm just happy I get that much.
Great call, that was fun.
Was one of them in All-Stars?
I don't know, it was Jen? Jen and
wow,
so excited with myself.
Jen and I don't know. Let me look. Lisa?
Oh, maybe I was
no,
thinking
no, no, no.
Lisa.
Lisa was.
But I was thinking different. Lisa. I was thinking Lisa. That
Jen and. Oh. Anyway, great.
Anyway,
oh, I love that. I love a couple of Top Chef. We know this.
So it looks like next week they're not doing the traditional bring in diners. They're doing like a chef's table experience where all of the judges and potentially maybe outside people who have been quarantining as well, pictures like the kitchen's right there. And then there's like a big U-shaped table right in front of the kitchen. So they get to watch everything going on in the kitchen.
I don't feel good about it. I don't feel good.
And I just remember there's one point where I think, I can't remember if it's Melissa or Gregory saying, this is kind of awkward. Because I, in terms of, it's basically they're on stage cooking for everybody the entire meal. So I think that's going to be an interesting twist, if I kind of interpreted it correctly, how they're approaching it this year. So it's still the same concept where they have to develop a, it looks like it's the same concept where they have to develop a, well, a kitchen, a restaurant concept, and then, you know, create a multi-course meal. But instead of dishing it out to, I think, you know, I don't know if people will get to choose items like they do previously, but off of a menu, or if it's like a single tasting menu, but it'll be interesting to watch. So I would be surprised if I'll be interested to see if next week, if it's a 75 minute episode or a 60 minute episode.
Let me know.
It could potentially be a two-parter. It just seems like Restaurant Wars warrants a two-parter, or at least an extended episode. Mm-hmm. Or at least I wonder if they're not going to do, because there's no immunity anymore, like why even do a quickfire? Unless you've got a sponsor to please. But that's where we're going next week.
Speaking of sponsors, I can't believe that we've heard nothing from Better Than Bouillon.
Oh, no, I tagged them at one point, but I did not, copy them in like a tweet about the episode. I should do that, even though it's in the past.
Got to keep the past in the behind, right?
Yep.
So Haley, what did you eat this week? Or Kurt, do you want to play your game?
Sure. Well, I do have a couple things that I did eat. I went to, there's a local place called Roam, R-O-A-M, that has, it's kind of international street food.
Ooh, fun.
And so I had Indonesian pangsits, which is flash fried wonton shells stuffed with shredded pork and garlic.
Ooh, amazing.
As an appetizer. And then I had an elote corn salad from Mexico.
Also amazing.
And that was the side to the banh mi sandwich I had, which is Vietnam. They've got bratwurst from Germany. They've got kati rolls from India, jambing from China, anticucho from Peru. Sorry if I butchered that. Curry from Singapore. Okonomiyaki from Japan, hummus from Greece. It's just an international menu. They've got some U.S. stuff there too, but looking forward to going back there again. But the quick game I wanted to play, very quick game, is I actually went to my first public event in over a year. I went to see a stand-up comedy show on Thursday evening, and they had I had a peach Long Island iced tea, but they had a food menu there. And there was an item on the food menu I wanted to get your take on.
Ooh.
If you were to order something called pizza pillows, what would you expect?
I would expect, and I don't know if you guys had these, but like the Michelinas, like the frozen meals, there's these ones that were like taco bites. And they're these little like squares like this, with taco meat inside. Delicious. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting that with pizza stuff. Like a very mini hand pizza. What are they called? Pizza pop. Very mini pizza pop.
What about you, Latanya? When you hear pizza pillow, what does your food imagination, where does that take you?
Hot pockets.
Hot pockets? Okay. I think what you described, Haley, is like we have like Totina's pizza rolls here.
Yes.
Yeah.
So here's the description of the pizza pillow. Our hand-tossed pizza dough, cut into pieces, then deep-fried to a golden brown and topped with garlic parmesan.
Do you dip it in a marinara?
It doesn't say that it comes with a marinara sauce.
That sounds like a garlic knot to me.
Yeah, it sounds exactly like a garlic knot to me. I'm going to, if I have to like give this like a thumbs up or a thumbs down, I'm giving it a thumbs down because it's basically a mini breadstick or a garlic knot. There's no, there's nothing. There's no
pizza component other than the bread.
Other than being pizza dough. Yeah. So I was very, that's bugged me for like 72 hours now. to the point where I would say at the stand-up comedy club, it was a bowling alley. At the bowling alley, I took a picture of this menu Michigan, item with the intent of talking about it on the show. And so mission accomplished. Boom. Okay.
So Haley, what did you eat this week? Well, we tried a new pizza place this week in Niagara Falls. It's called Red Swan. It's like a new like chain. And they had a deal where it was like three small pizzas for like however many dollars. And we're like, yes, let's do this. Because it was like a bunch of weird kinds of pizza. There are a lot of kinds we wanted to try, but we narrowed it down to three. Ethan got one, I got one, we got one that we're going to split. Ethan got one that had like sopressata and hot banana peppers and pineapple on it with a tomato sauce base. I myself got the barbecue shrimp pizza because I love shrimp. This is like a perfect pizza for me because I had A, barbecue sauce, B, shrimp, and C, pineapple. It was a tomato sauce base with the barbecue sauce drizzled on top, and then we shared a pierogi pizza. I love.
And you were telling us about pierogi pizzas before, right?
Yes, Boston Pizza. I liked the Boston Pizza pierogi pizza better, but these ones were also good. But this one had sausage where the other one had bacon. I prefer bacon over sausage. Plus, there's jalapenos on this one. Also, something we've been very into lately is...
The way you say that, I'm saying, is that we want to talk about this?
Yeah.
This is a public show.
Is grilling carrots on the barbecue.
Whoa.
Oh, throw the carrot on the Barbie.
Very tasty. It makes them nice and sweet, but gives it a little bit of a char flavor. I know I said I don't like
Was that on this? Gosh, I've been watching so many cooking shows. I can't remember if it was on this week of Top Chef, last week of Top Chef, or I don't think it was on Great British Bake Off. Where somebody glazed a carrot with carrot juice.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I don't know.
No, that was this week.
That was this week.
Was it? Okay. I'm losing my mind.
Was that that was Gabe, wasn't it? When he had the carrot and
burnt the bread. Mole?
I think so.
Yeah, I think his carrots and burnt bread mole, I believe those carrots were glazed in carrots, which sounds
like cannibalistic.
Kind of cool. Kind of a little cannibalistic, but also like, I want to try that.
Ethan cut them all up. Mixed it with a little olive oil, some parsley, and feta, and it was really, really good.
Don't they slip through the grill when you cut them up?
We cut them up after the grill.
Okay, just checking.
Goodbye, everybody.
You're just like, how dare you?
You're a moron.
We also have a basket, like not a basket, but like a pan that we can put on the grill.
Grill pan.
Well, Tanya, what did you eat this week?
I had a grill pan. So I had a delicious seared tuna salad.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
It was very good. It had like a ginger dressing. And it has mango and avocado and tomato, and I'm in love with it. Like, you know, I think I'm finally going to tie the knot, and it's going to be this salad.
A garlic knot?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wedding bands. But they're little garlic pizza pillows.
I think you can tie the pizza pillow.
I'm going to tie the pizza pillow with this seared tuna salad.
That sounds absolutely lovely.
I did get a message on Facebook, Latanya, that I'd like you to address regarding our conversation last week about your dining. My good friend, Maureen Winston will probably, come at me for mentioning this, but she's like, I'm like legit mad at the Al's love on the Top Chef podcast. It's tourist Italian beef. What do you have to say to that?
Whoa. First of all, Kurt, how dare you confront me in such a manner on the podcast? Second of all, maybe it's touristy, but maybe it's touristy because it's delicious.
Okay.
I had a craving, and it for me it's a childhood memory more than a touristy thing. My family used to go to the one on Taylor Street all the time. And I think that was an Al's. Maybe it's been rebranded as an Owls because it was not an Owls before.
Is that West Side?
You know, I've lived here my whole life and I can't tell you where I am right now, and I'm in my own apartment. So
it's okay. So I will let Marie know that she's coming for your childhood and to back off.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Just, you know, I agree. It could be very touristy there. I just think it's good.
I agree with you.
Do not apologize. Do not apologize.
Because they're good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that the case with Uno Pizza? What of the deep fish pizza places are you going to?
I will say I'm a fan of Giordano's if it comes to like
really.
Yeah.
I love where this is going.
Mm. Tells me so much about you. Giordano's. Basic bitch. I'm just kidding.
I was going to say nobody's ever accused me of that before, but it's not true.
It's of course it's not it's true.
I get that weekly.
Luminati's.
Okay.
I think it's because with Giordano's, there's one in Evanston, and so now there's a Luminati's in Evanston too. But like going to school there, and whenever there was a quote unquote pizza party. For the team or for like the debate camp, it was always Giordano's just because it was so easy. And I think I just got over it. So like I started to like their salads a lot more than the pizza even.
That salad with the honey mustard and the peas and the chicken at Giordano's is really good.
I don't know if I've had that one. There's one that has like a shaved like fennel thing. I don't know what ingredients they are, but I ordered one for my little baby Gabe, my nephew's birthday. And it was for me because I wasn't going to eat any pizza. And then my sister was like, ooh, what's this? And she and her boyfriend ate my salad, which I was like fine with because I was just playing with a child the whole time. But yeah, I like Luminati's. I recently had, Uno. I think it was Uno and not Duo. I can't remember anything anymore. I can check this very easily. See, I like the sweetness of their souse, which I had not. I know, it was Gino's East.
I do love sweet sauce.
Yeah, I hadn't had a souse that sweet before on a deep dish pizza. And I was like, huh, I like the sauce part of this, but I'm not a big fan of. I think it was just what I ordered, because I ordered a spinach margarita deep dish pizza, which sounds delightful.
I thought you were going with a spinach margarita.
I know. I was like, that sounds
what, a twist on margarita.
It's like a kale smoothie with tequila.
Yeah.
Like,
would I say yes? Probably.
Right now, I would.
I would try it.
Yeah. Which I did with this pizza, and the way they do their spinach, I don't like. They don't just like, you know, put the actual, they make a spinach mix and it's too soggy for my taste. And I was just like, why? Like, it's already deep dish pizza. Like, why do you need this soggy spinach? Just be normal and put regular spinach. I'm too upset about it. I think it's I was looking very much forward to the pizza. And then when it got here, I was like, well, I'm just eating the salad now. So,
yeah, I think the only reason I prefer Giordano's is I used to work downtown and there was near a Giordano's and it was always like a huge line and it was always packed. But then I moved to East Lakeview where there was a Giordano's just like a short walk away. That never had a line. And it was just more almost like, oh, wow. I'm like, so lucky I live close to one that isn't all busy and stuff. And so I think that was more the appeal of it was the, I can get something without waiting in line for it normally.
This podcast really is just makes me want pizza, and it's not okay.
No,
I'm like in a process right now where I'm like, you know, starting to like lose some weight and stuff. And then I do this podcast and I watch Top Chef and I'm like, yum, all the food. It's really, you know, I mean, it has like, it's fine because it hasn't impacted me in terms of losing weight. So I'm just complaining at this point. But yeah, that seared tuna salad, I might have again later.
That sounds good.
I might make it my mayor of Easttown meal. We'll see.
Awesome. Or was there anything else you ate this week that you want to tell us about eating?
Well, I did have a gorgonzola burger with pork belly on it.
What?
That was amazing.
You did wait, kids, just say it again.
Burger, gorgonzola cheese, seared pork belly on a Hawaiian roll.
Ooh. On a Hawaiian roll?
Okay, yep. I was needing some sweetness in that burger because it's all pretty rich. So
it got delivered by the bun.
The Hawaiian bun. I'm
trying to remember what else was on there, but it was and then I swapped in. No, it came with waffle fries. I believe it came with waffle fries, or was that a different meal? It's the second time I've had it. It's a very good. Yeah, that came with waffle fries, and then I had like a side of spicy tuna roll, which doesn't sound like a side. But
you and your sides of sushi.
Yeah, it was huge.
I love it so much. It's always sushi and some type of like. What's Earl of Sandwich.
It's a turkey bar. It's not turkey bar, a tiki bar.
Two completely different things.
Wow, that is, wow, a turkey bar. Okay, what would a turkey bar be? Would it be a bar for turkey?
What is a turkey bar?
There's cranberry juice and everything.
Mashed potato parfaits. Those are a thing.
It's a tiki bar, and everything is kind of tropically themed. So I think the pork belly was the infusion of that into the burger. Mm-hmm. They've got really good. I mean, I'm looking at their front door right now. They're like right across this parking lot. And
it's, well, that's stalkery.
The workers haven't showed up yet.
You guys don't know this, but Kurt's literally podcasting from our parking lot.
I'm walking there now. Yeah. Cover me. So that was Friday night, and I said, yesterday was that Vietnamese banh mi and the international street food place. I had a Greek egg white omelet for breakfast today, like a late breakfast, more of a brunch.
We're gonna have omelets for dinner tonight.
It was a gyro and feta and onions and tomato, and I added mushrooms and cream cheese. Yeah, I got I swapped in avocado toast for the toast.
Nice.
Very good. Normally not a big breakfasty foods person, but this sounded like it would hit the spot. So
I think you should have a channel where you just talk about food, Kurt.
I thought that's what this was.
No. Oh, wait. We didn't get to, real quick, comments from Twitter, from the Discord.
Yes. Tell us.
Okay. So Larry of the House of Evangelista says, his name's Larry Evangelista, or their name. I don't want to assume.
I was like wondering if he was from like the House of Linda Evangelista or like Valentina's, like, you know what I mean? Like that Evangelista. Like,
that I was thinking Pose, but.
Oh, sorry. I have to watch that one still.
I know you don't watch any good TV.
I don't watch good shows. Nope. Not for me.
So the comment says, the noticeable lack of quote-unquote color from the first responders / frontliners they featured on the show. I don't want to sound rude or anything, but probably the BIPOCs, I don't like that term, but it is one that everyone's using now, are the ones who work in COVID units and have been reported that the BIPOCs are working in hospitals, are the ones that are getting infected most with COVID. Also, the lack of Filipino medical professionals. What's up with that? You can look at the history between Filipino nurses after World War II. Also, check out about jokes regarding Filipino nurses. I'm not going to look up any Filipino nurse jokes. There was a noticeable lack of color in the frontline workers that they chose. I can only imagine that the hospitals were the one, like the hospitals they partnered with, were the people who chose the representatives to come and receive the food. So I partially blame it on the hospital, but I guess it would be Top Chef's job, their producer's job, to request that there be more representation in the people that they decided to choose.
Yeah, they've done a great job in terms of like an amazing job in terms of the cast. So I'm surprised that that was something that was an oversight on their part. And I also got to thinking, like, we saw Dale's comment, like 65 dishes, we had to do 300. And Carrie was like, kids these days.
Yeah.
They don't know how good they have it. I was like, even thinking like 65 frontline workers in like all the hospitals in Portland is like such a small, like that's like barely scratching the surface. And I'm not sure how many, and so I'm not sure how many, and it looked also like the, like they didn't send in the camera crew.
How many people are left?
There's now 8. There were 9.
So 65 times 9. So that's 585 meals divided by 3 hospitals. That's 195 meals. So it might cover like 1 shift per hospital, but still, I think you're not incorrect in saying that like not everybody's getting a meal.
Well, you raise a good point. It's like I completely forgot that it wasn't like
there's only 65 meals.
Or like Dr. Smith, try all 3 of these dishes. They weren't acting as the judges.
Each getting 1 meal.
But I think I think I saw the comment on Twitter and I'm like at judges table, I'm like, we didn't even see any front. Like what's going on? Like,
no.
I was like, am I getting the Canadian at it? And then it was like literally that kind of that 40 seconds of commentary. And it looked like obviously it kind of supports the idea they didn't want like the camera crews going in, potentially like getting cross contamination. Like it was all like kind of, like I said, like Skype and Zoom recorded stuff. But I'm wondering, like, I don't know if this is who they could get to record or if there was more that was on the cutting room floor that didn't make the edit. And then, you know, that's something that they should have addressed. But it's probably a mix of like you said, Latanya, the hospital saying who got the meals, but then also the editors, if they got multiple kind of responses. Mm-hmm. From like choosing, you know, who is going to be featured in the thing, because it looked like there was maybe just not, because I still kind of vaguely remember kind of a Brady Bunch 3x3 grid of faces on the TV.
Yeah, there were just 3 at each place.
Yeah, and so yeah, they could have done a better job there, but just imagine, like, not sure if the onus falls more on the hospital and selection or the production.
Hospitals never known to be racist. Okay, then I think we've covered this, but we got Melanie asking us this week to please discuss Melissa's backward hat, Don's hair, and resurrecting flaccid cucumbers.
See, I did the flaccid cucumber. I did my part.
You did your part.
But I also want to say I did notice Tom's leather jacket.
Who didn't?
And Kwame's diagonal yellow stripe.
I literally wrote down with regards to Kwame. And now Kwame's here? Are they trying to kill me?
It's just too much beautiful energy in one spot.
And they did the slow motion walk of everyone, and Gail had her Brigitte Bardot hair going on. And Dawn had like 4 different hairstyles throughout this episode, which is a feat. Mm-hmm. Like, I would probably just like get braids if I had to go on a show like this, so I wouldn't have to worry about my hair.
Which makes me wonder if they were caught, if those shots were taken from different points of the competition.
They had to have been. Said.
Or if like they were filmed after T1.
Possibly.
Potentially.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I've been noticing now that we kind of put out fashion alerts, it's like, I think I'm realizing, like, for me, the men's fashion stands out more only because I'm like, could I pull that off is the question I ask myself. I don't find myself asking that with a lot of what Padma's wearing. So
I look at all Padma's outfits and go, I know I can't pull that off.
I could try and then I would not leave my house.
I would literally not be able to pull it off.
She's always wearing leather. She wears a lot of leather.
I'd be too warm, too sweaty, would not come off my body.
Yeah, I don't have that. There's a certain level of hot you have to be to wear the types of clothes that Padma wears, and I'm not there. I'm just not. And I accept my limitations.
I don't think I'm like cool enough to pull off what like Kwame wears. I think I could pull off.
Kwame.
I could pull off a Kalikia wardrobe though, I think.
Yeah, like lots of plaids, like a leather jacket over a plaid. Definitely. Very Michigan.
Very hot. I thought. Get yourself a leather jacket.
Kurt. I've got a red leather jacket.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
After we sign off, I'll go pull it out for you guys.
Okay.
That's for the bonus. $100,000 patrons. I think it's here.
And then a couple things from the Discord, and I'll stop talking. Davis, Will wrote, really hate to see Avishar go this week, but I think we also may be getting to the point of the season where I'd hate to see any of them go. Also, as much as I hate Restaurant Wars as a concept, I think the open kitchen concept of it next week may be interesting.
Yeah. Agreed.
Agreed.
The only person I'm not that tied to Byron. We don't feel we've got a lot of Byron. And I think that's about it. Chris was kind of up there, but he's been growing on me.
Yeah, I think I'm more tied to Byron because I think it's really nice when he and Maria speak Spanish to each other. Yep. That makes me happy. And I know Maria, if Byron went home, would be devastated.
Yeah. Any other comments from the Discord?
Some people are missing Hugh Atchison this year.
Haley?
I have never heard that before.
I miss that man so much, says Davis, Will. Elizabeth Cook says, y'all think they actually serve the undercooked tortillas or if they fix the meals for the workers? I'd hate for any of them to lose in the worst dish lottery this week. It was one thing to serve bad food to the judges or people specifically going to a Top Chef event. It's quite another to donate subpar food to frontline workers.
I never even thought about that.
That's a great point. I think like the tortillas, although we did see like, it's like, let's cut to Gregory and Richard, like at some random park where they've got the back of the hatchback open and they're just like sitting down eating. It's like, okay, we've tried all three meals. Now we have to go through all 65 of Maria's dishes and remove the tortillas and then repackage them. No, that's a great point. I'm wondering how that works. My guess is it still got served.
I bet it still got served. And honestly, people in hospitals never get to eat. They just don't get to eat. And so anytime they have any food to just like shove in their mouths before they can like go back to work, they're just like, yes, let's do this. So they may not have even noticed. It's more of a like, we are professional foodies and therefore we notice this tortilla. They probably just turned the soggy side on like, they put like the ingredients on the soggy side and then just like went to town.
Now if there had been like undercooked chicken,
right,
then that could have been an awkward moment. It's like, we couldn't eat your dish because the chicken wasn't cooked. And we had to like not serve it to the frontline workers because of that. Like that would be
so
horrible if that was the case.
That would be terrible. Thank God you're in a hospital. And the final Discord comment from Sammy is, yes, love the alumni judging team. So excited to see Kristen Kitch next week.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That was
talk
the thing
about
I meant
hotties. To. Ugh. Are they trying to kill me?
They're trying to kill us.
She recently got married. Good for her. Congrats to Kristen. Latonya, where can people find you on the internet if you want them to find you on the internet?
People can find me causing all types of trouble on Twitter.com at LK Starks.
Oh, you mean the website, Twitter.com? Okay. So yeah. Instead of .com.
Yeah, Twitter.com. You know, that free bird app that
Wait,
we
do you mean
use.
www.twitter.com?
www.
Is there a backslash in there somewhere?
Diabetes.
The diabetes. http:////
www.twitter.com. Yeah, that's it. You can try to find me on Instagram, but you won't.
Challenge accepted. I think I already follow you.
That's, yeah, you're like, accepted the challenge weeks ago.
Kurt?
You can find me at Kurt Clark with two C's at the start of each of those words. you can find me on Instagram. I'll occasionally post. Basically, I think my top two posts are food and snarky some e-cards calendar pictures. Follow please follow me on Twitch. I've never asked people to follow me on Twitch, but I think I would like to get more followers on Twitch because I think I've only got like 18, and I play. I've been doing more and more streaming of gaming on there. So also at Kirk Clark on Twitter. Sorry, on the Twitter, on the Instagram, on the Twitch. I'm there basically Kirk Clark everywhere for the most part. How about you, Haley?
One name. It's a good
brand.
My
name's Haley Strong. yes, that's my name. Not changing it. I think on our first date, I told Ethan, I was like, listen, if this goes anywhere, I'm not changing my name. Hope you know that.
Are you comfortable sharing what Ethan's last name is?
Fahey. Can you imagine if my name was Haley Fahey?
Yeah, stay with Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a strong last name.
It is.
I told him he should take my name. Yeah. Ethan Strong. Agreed. Sounds amazing.
Does.
Does. But does indeed.
Okay, whatever. I have a cool last name. Sucks to suck, I guess. Anyway, @HStrong_ on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow my Bookstagram account at The Strong Library. And guess what? I'm going to be on the Survivor Countdown podcast this week talking about Survivor Africa. Don't know what place this is in. I'm just invited.
It is, I believe, in 21st place.
Great.
You're coming in at the halfway point. I love that for me.
Yeah, Sam joined into my DMs in like February and said, hey, you wanna come on for Survivor Africa? I said, great, sign me up. Just let me know a couple weeks before so I can watch it. I'm having a great time.
It's gonna be wonderful.
I haven't seen a season in like 10 years. So having a great time. I'd say 21st place time.
Okay.
I think that's reasonable. Awesome. Gosh, darn it. Until then, I guess, pack your knives and go. Bye. Love you. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.